Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 707 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about Superman number 7 from writer Brian Michael Bendis. We have art from Yvonne Reis, Brandon Peterson, and there's even a page by Jason Fabok. Eau Claire Albert, handles the inks for Yvonne Reis, and we have colors by Alex Sinclair, and letters by Josh Reed and Carlos Mangal. So we saw at the end of issue 6, John Kent had returned. Superboy, the child of Lois and Clark, and he clearly something happened. He didn't quite return in the same condition that he left. And it was somewhat surprising. Obviously, we'd seen some teases and some artwork beforehand, so we kind of knew this was coming, and it's once we start getting explanations for it, I don't want to say it's bad and I don't like it, because the whole story hasn't been told yet. It's still unfolding, but I will say that I have concerns. And again, I just go back to what was happening in Action Comics before Bendis took over, as well as what was happening in Superman before Bendis took over that title. They were both doing so well with Dan Jurgens on Action and Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason on Superman. And then all of a sudden, Bendis comes in, and I understand he wants to tell his own stories, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I want him to be able to tell the stories that he wants to tell. I just wonder about the timing. Maybe it wasn't the best time for him to be writing Superman, because the title was doing so well. Both of them were. And Bendis is really coming in, and he's having to change things up so much because, as I've talked about at length on this Superman Sunday episodes, it just seems like Bendis didn't like where the characters were. He didn't like the fact that Superman was married to Lois. He didn't like the fact they had this 10-year-old kid. And he's having to rearrange pieces, which I suppose that's part of being a writer and working on these properties that have been around for a long time. But when things are working so well, and then you come up and change it up just because you want this new creator to be able to tell the story they want to tell, again, that's fine. He should be able to tell the story he wants to tell, but you have to realize you're alienating part of your reading audience. And, you know, maybe it's okay, because maybe Bendis, the name obviously has a lot of name recognition. And I've seen a lot of people on social media saying how much they love what Bendis is doing with Superman. They've either never read Superman before, never liked him as a character, but they love what Bendis is doing. So, and I've heard from Superman fans, you know, Adam from Talking Superman seems to really enjoy what Bendis is doing. But for me personally, I don't know. It just seems like change for the sake of change. And I was looking forward to more stories with John as a 10-year-old and an 11-year-old, that awkward time. And to have him suddenly aged up, I feel like you've taken a shortcut. You know, I've heard this before in terms of storytellers talking about how it's kind of hard to write kids. And you'll see it a lot of times in TV shows. Right, it'll be the newborn baby, maybe towards the end of a season, and then by the time the next season rolls around, it's toddler time, and then, you know, you'll cover it while they're like 3, 4, 5 years old, and then, you know, then there's a big jump. See it on soap operas all the time too. All of a sudden, there's just a big jump, in these kids just grow up overnight because it's so hard to tell interesting stories apparently when they're at certain ages. And so, you know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe Bendis just didn't have any stories he wanted to tell with young John Kent, but had some that he wanted to tell with nearly adult John Kent. And so, I don't know. Connor Kent is coming back. Con-El is coming back in the pages of Young Justice. Now we're going to have two Superboys. Yeah, I'm honestly not sure what's going on. But let me go ahead and dive into the issue. And again, I'm trying to keep an open mind. Of the two titles, I am very much enjoying Superman more than Action Comics. Action Comics is a bit of a dumpster fire right now for me. I just I don't understand what Bendis is doing. I really don't. It's Action Comics. Superman is not a crime. Shouldn't be a crime story. You've got, you know, United States versus Murder, Inc. You've got Scarlet. You've got all this other stuff to tell those stories. If you wanted to write crime noir, you could have written Batman. I don't get it. But that's for another day. Next time I talk about Action Comics, I think issue 1007 is the next one I need to cover. So that'll be coming up pretty soon. But yeah, having a bit of an issue with Action Comics. So Superman, I was enjoying much more. It's more the sort of the superhero, cosmic space kind of title, as opposed to the Daily Planet, more gritty street level, which street level should never be used with Superman ever, in my opinion. Those just aren't the stories that should be told with Superman, which, I mean, even that term, street level, right? In my opinion, that's never a term that should be used with Superman. He should be above that kind of stuff. When you're talking about crime syndicates and, you know, mafia and things like that, Superman should be able to clean that stuff up in like 30 minutes. And so I'm just not buying that this criminal organization has been operating under his nose in Metropolis all this time. It's not working for me. But like I said, Superman I have been enjoying up until this. I don't know, maybe Ben just found out I was liking it and said, well, I've got to ruin this one too. And I, you know, I say that tongue in cheek. It's not completely ruined, but again, I just go back to the lost potential. So you'll see what I mean in a minute here. Let me go ahead and start talking about the issue. It opens with Superman and John flying above Metropolis, kind of floating there, and Clark is embracing him, and John's like, Dad? And Superman responds, nope, still hugging. And then he holds him at arm's length and kind of asks him, are you okay? And John's trying to convince him, yeah, I'm really okay. And Superman's looking at him saying, what are you? And John says, I don't know, about 17? And Superman says, you don't know? He says, well, I lost track out there. Superman then starts speculating on how this could have happened. He's like, so blue kryptonite? No, indigo. No, gold. And John says, no. Okay, Superman says, Brainiac-related cloning experiment. John, no. Dad, I've been trying to get back home to you for something like 7 years. I lived all this. I didn't, you know, like transform or anything. And you can just see the look on Superman's face when he starts to realize this. He's like, buddy, you've only been gone 3 weeks. And again, we didn't know necessarily. This is the first time we're getting a hint on how long, you know, because with the Man of Steel series and then the Superman series started, Action Comics started over or started back up with issue 1001. And we didn't really know how long. Like, how long was Lois gone? Only 3 weeks. Why are people freaking out so much at the Daily Planet that she's been gone? But John responds to this three weeks that Superman says by saying, years, Dad. I've been gone years. And the look on Superman's face, like, incredibly well done by Yvonne Reese, just showing the reaction that as Superman realizes he's missed years out of his son's life, which it's tough as a parent. And even as a fan, it's like, well, no, I didn't want to miss out on 7 years of Superboy stories of him growing up. And like, I am kind of curious though. So what's his relationship going to be like with Damian now? Now all of a sudden he's older than Damian, but I guess that's a story for another day. But yeah, well, let me finish the synopsis and then I'll talk more about how I think about it or my thoughts on it. So John goes, yeah, so we're in Grandpa's ship. There was a black hole and, you know, we went whoosh and bright lights and, you know, the galaxy's a lot bigger than people give it credit for. And Superman says, well, we need to have you checked out at the Hall of Justice immediately. But John begs off saying, you know, I'm okay, Pa, I am. I wasn't sure I was going to make it back. Is Mom okay? Did she make it back okay? And Superman embraces John as John hugs him again and takes him to see Lois. There's kind of a funny moment when Lois looks up and sees Superman there. She starts to, because she's just wearing a bathrobe as she's working on a story, and she starts to give Superman a little peek when all of a sudden John starts to stick his head up above his dad's shoulder. Superman immediately covers his eyes, and Lois when she realizes that it's her son, like, again, the look on her face, like, incredibly well done by Yvonne Rhys, and the purple eyes, as it should be with Lois. She has purple eyes, which I always found to be really strange. A lot of people color them as blue, but Alex Sinclair gets it right, purple eyes. And when Lois recognizes them, as John lands on the balcony and Superman's telling Lois, yeah, I was trying to figure out how to break it to you easily. And Lois is like, well, he just showed up. And Superman's like, yeah, we came right over. You know, didn't keep him from you. You know, hint, hint, Lois, you came back and hid from me. But, you know, our son comes back and immediately brought him over to you. And Lois thinks the same thing that Superman thought. How this happened. It's one of those bleeping kryptonites again. But no, it's not, right? John lived this as he said, and Superman says, it's him. And John apologizes, saying, I'm sorry, Mom. And Lois is like, tell me this is like some kind of Kryptonian puberty thing, and you're still the age that you are. You know, you're still 10. And Lois hugs him and says, it's you. It smells just like you, but it's a different person. And you know, she's crying. She feels like she missed everything, and she's just distraught. And Clark's or John is telling her, no, it's, you know, it's okay. It's okay. And Lois immediately starts blaming Jor-El, saying, what did your maniac grandfather do to you? And John says, how about I start from the beginning? And Lois is like, well, how about you give me the headline? Like, I want to know. And Clark is consoling her, you know, trying to calm her down, saying, start at the beginning, buddy, and tell us everything. And so John takes a breath and says, okay, well, you remember Grandpa? Well, of course you do, because for you, this was like 3 weeks ago. But for me, this was years ago. But I kind of remember it like it was only 3 weeks ago. And, you know, Grandpa showed up and he was offering me the Cosmic Summer of Fun and Outer Space getaway package. And he originally said that it was a big trip to kind of grow me up and teach me everything I needed to learn about the universe. And I remember I was like upset about something and wanted to go and get away from Earth. And Superman reminds him, yeah, you didn't make the Teen Titans roster. And John says, oh, yeah, ha. You know, with maturity, he realizes how silly that was. And we get a little bit of a flashback here where John and Lois are leaving with Jor-El and they're saying, don't worry, we'll be back before you know it. And John's saying, yeah, so Mom decided to come with. And you remember that thing that Grandpa picked us up in that looked like his ship? Yeah, that wasn't his spaceship. No, that was just the shuttle. And once we got to his ship and found out that we had our own, Jor-El calls him, their cabins of solitude, and they tell Lois to put on the Superman outfit. This is the no trunks Superman outfit that Superman gave her. To try to keep her safe in space. They immediately were attacked. They intercepted a fleet of Dominators that were actually on their way to attack Earth. And Jor-El and John Kent were able to stop the invasion. And when they got back to the ship, Jor-El tells Lois, actually, you know, those Dominators were headed to Earth, so we actually saved Superman, you know, my son and his friends, some trouble back home. And the other thing that Lois says is that at that moment, when all of a sudden, like no sooner do they get to Jor-El's ship, than there's an attack by the Dominators. That's when Lois realizes, yeah, what was I thinking? You know, she says, I don't mean to interrupt, but it was this exact moment when I realized I'd made a huge mistake coming into space. What was I thinking? And John says, I just remember you being a kick-ass mama bear, you know, trying to protect him. So, as I said, John and Jor-El make quick work of the Dominators, and Jor-El decides it's time to take them to get some food. So they head to a space station that has all manner of different races from across the galaxy. Lois gets quite a few stares because she's wearing that Superman outfit that has the crest of the House of El. And because of that, there are people that come up to her asking for help. Meanwhile, Lobo, of all people, shows up as well and recognizes John Kent and basically kind of gets in John's face and tells him that he should be called Superboy, not Little Superman, and gives John some advice saying, I guess because no one's ever told you yet, you're a man when you decide to be. There's nobody handing out certificates. You got to decide to. And then he walks away saying, say hi to your pops for me. And then, as I said, all these people reaching out to Lois, asking for help, believing that she has superpowers, and she feels a bit overwhelmed. So Jor-El steps in, and he, along with John, learn that the Kuns on Daxam are stealing children and turning them into slaves. And so Jor-El and John Kent again step in, and as Lois is watching them free these children that have been held captive to be sold into slavery, she says, yeah, I was watching you stand up to everything and save a race of these people from becoming slaves. And I figured, what am I doing out here, right? Like, a mother wants to protect her son, but I'm useless. I'm in the way. I'm only going to make things worse. I'm only going to endanger John if he has to come and rescue me. So John says, yeah, Mom, actually, knowing what I know now, you were so right to leave. And so at that moment, we see Lois leave and go back to Earth. But John says, yeah, so it was the right choice for her to leave. But at that moment when she left, that's when I first got the hint. And Superman says, well, the first hint of what, John? And he says, what I've been trying to get back home to tell you. Grandpa is completely insane, and we have to do something about it. And Lois gives Clark a look, or Superman a look, and Superman's just looking at John, and John says, sorry, Pa. And we get the blurb for next issue, Father's Day. So it's a relatively quick issue in terms of there's not a lot of story here. Basically, we're starting to fill in the gaps from when Lois and John were gone. And I get it must have something to do with going through the black hole and being so far away. And, you know, the whole theory of relativity and time works differently if you're traveling at higher speeds. But again, aging John up 7 years, that's a big deal. This is a really important character in the DC universe in my mind. And I think they could have gotten a lot more mileage and years of storytelling with him, you know, 10 to 12 years old. And now that he's 17, it's like we've had this version of Superboy before. We haven't really had the 10-year-old version. And so I wonder about letting Bendis make this change. And will we see it like changed? Will we see it retconned? Is it just this story and then they're going to find a way to de-age him? I don't know. Is this maybe a different version of Superboy? It doesn't seem like it. It seems like this is the main version. And again, I'm just really surprised that they let Bendis make this big of a change. And I don't know, again, if I like it. I mean, there are some attractions to it of having a bigger or more mature Superboy. He can fight alongside his dad a lot better. We can get father and son stories in that way. His costume looks cool. But again, I just think that if you go this route, then you keep it this way, then you've completely closed off so many different potential stories of John growing up with these powers, learning how to use them, and that kind of thing. I mean, maybe you do tell those stories, but they're just all stories told in space with Jor-El as the father figure. And then I don't know how that works, right? I really liked the dynamic that was going on in the Superman comic previously to Bendis when we were getting the father, we're getting the family dynamic, because it wasn't just Superman's perspective. We were also getting Lois's perspective on John straining to, kind of have more freedom and kind of chafing a little bit under the protection of his mother and father, maybe the overprotectiveness of them. Just with everything they've been through throughout their history, wanting to keep John safe, knowing eventually he was going to get out there and become a hero on his own, but they're trying to keep him, you know, safe and uninvolved for as long as possible. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just the powers that be at DC, the editorial, felt like, okay, we need to make somewhat of a clean break and just age him up, and that's going to be it. But I don't know. It's a big change, and I imagine I'll get used to it. Right now, I'm not sure I like it, but the art in the issue is absolutely incredible. The Yvonne Reese pages, as I mentioned, the reactions are done really well. The facial expressions, the Brandon Peterson art in the middle isn't as detailed. It's not even close to as detailed as the Yvonne Reese art is. Their styles are kind of similar, like similar enough that having another artist split the art chores doesn't pull you out of the story. But obviously I would have preferred Yvonne Reese to have done the whole thing. But the color work by Alex Sinclair is top notch, as it usually is. And, you know, we got a Jason Fabik page, and that's not a bad thing either. So art-wise, the series has been firing all cylinders the whole time. I like that the Superman series is a little more consistent with art. It's mostly Yvonne Reese, whereas the Action Comics has been cycling through all kinds of different artists. We've seen Adam Hughes do an issue. We've seen Ryan Sook do some issues. Steve Epting's currently doing them. So, yeah, I prefer a little more consistency in my art. And the other thing about these books aren't on biweekly schedules anymore. They're on monthly schedules. So, you know, I know that a lot of artists these days work so detailed that they can't keep a schedule to a monthly book. Maybe they can do 8 to 10 issues a year. I'm okay with that. But we're not even getting that with Action. And that might be another reason why I feel like that title is not living up to its legacy. But this one, jury's still out. Again, the whole Lois and Clark not living together thing is just weird. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe with John back, they can start becoming a family again a little bit. But yeah, I am very curious. I will say that. I'll give Bendis complete credit for that. Really want to know what happened out there in space. Really want some resolution and see what this new version of John Kent, what the dynamic is like between his mother, his father, himself. I mean, does he go to high school? Like, did he, like, I don't know, he missed out on years and years of schooling. Will that even be brought up? Will that even be mentioned? Does it matter? I don't know. But they are all things that I think about. So all in all, I think based on the art, I still think this is above an above average issue. The story's interesting enough. It's just that one little thing. Like, I think you could have had him come back and be noticeably bigger and older, but I don't think you needed to go 7 years. It's just so much. You know, he could have come back and been 12, and I think it would have been enough of a difference. You know, draw him a little bit different. He's been, you know, pretty short and almost cherubic in a way, you know, before this. And now, I mean, you could have split the difference at least. I think 7 years is just too much. And why it was necessary, I just don't know. So, again, jury's still out. I'm not saying it's terrible. I'm not saying I absolutely hate it. But I'm dubious. I have my doubts. Just not really understanding what Bendis is trying to do with Superman at this point. But he's my favorite character. I'm going to keep reading. But I'll know when it's jumped the shark, because that's when I won't be able to read it anymore. It'll be completely, like, I can't do it, right? I don't like the story. I don't like what's going on, to the point where I can no longer pick up the book. That's when I'll know that we're in trouble. We haven't gotten there yet. The stories are interesting enough. I don't know. I'm just, again, it's not, I don't have anything against Bendis personally. I think the guy is supremely talented. I think his love for comics is so obvious. He has this infectious personality. He's one of those people that you know, the joy and love of comics is so obvious when you meet him and talk to him. He just wants to make great stories. And I don't know, it's just, his Superman is just not clicking for me yet. And I don't know if it's too much change, you know, and comic fans always complaining about change. They want things to stay the same, status quo, this and that. But then you can't get good stories that way, obviously, if characters don't change and grow. But I don't know. I just feel like the change and the growth that Bendis is giving us with these characters is we're moving backwards. You know, how many years did it take of Superman's existence for him to finally get married to Lois and have a, you know, this relationship and this marriage that you kind of, it was another thing that you looked up to Superman for. Hey, he's got this great marriage. Him and Lois love each other. They make it work. And now all of a sudden it's not that way, right? They're living in some sort of open marriage. It's just weird, right? And now you take John and you age him up, and maybe that was part of it. Maybe he didn't feel that he could keep Lois and Clark separated if John was a young child. He needed him to be older and have more independence. I don't know. I really don't. But as I said, I'm holding out hope. Maybe they'll dial it back. He'll go through a wormhole or something and come back out not 17 years old, or I'll just have to get used to it. I think it's certainly possible to tell good stories of John Kent as a 17-year-old superhero. That's totally possible. It's just I wasn't done reading my stories about 10-year-old John Kent, you know, going to Dinosaur Island with his dad and learning the early stages of being a superhero. So, like I said, it's interesting enough, and I'm going to keep reading and hope that at some point it starts clicking for me. I know a lot of people are really digging Bendis' Superman run, and I hope to join those ranks at some point. Maybe Bendis is struggling himself a little bit to figure out exactly the balance between respecting what came before and being able to tell the stories that he wants to tell. I guess we'll have to wait and see. That does it for this episode of Superman Sunday. So thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The Comic Source is a member of the LRM Podcast Network, so when you visit the site, be sure to check out some of our other podcasts like Los Fanboys, our official movie and TV podcast hosted by Joseph Jammer Medina, Netflix and Chill, hosted by Nick and Carrie, covering a wide variety of film and television topics with Game of Thrones and Star Wars as particular favorites, and finally, Mike and Mark's Marvelous Adventures, as these two former athletes share their love of sports and geek culture by chatting about anything and everything sports and geek related. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.